Okay, good morning. Welcome back. The 16th of October, 2017. Today is the... Anyone know? Something like the 25th of Tishrei, or someplace in that range. It's the... 26th of Tishrei. Tafshin Ayin Ches. All right, so we're beginning Perek, the book of Vayikra today. That should keep us busy for quite a while. So I figured today, before getting right into the Chumash and Rashi, we'll cover three introductions to the book. Now, the good news is that the book is only 27 chapters long, so we should be able to knock it off by the end of the year, no? All right, so three introductions that are said about this. Number one, first introduction comes from the Ramban. The Ramban points out, and the Ramban and the Netziv, and we'll cover the Meshech Chachma as well. Meshech Chachma is kind of going on a different angle, but the Ramban and the Netziv both point out that this is known as Toras Kohanim. Now the Ramban adds in, the Sefer is called Toras Kohanim V'Levim. Why would it be Levim? Any special halachos of Levim there? All the Kohanim are the ones who offer Korbanos. Why is this known as Sefer Toras Kohanim V'Levim, according to the Ramban? So in the Chevel edition of the Ramban, so he adds in that Kohanim, because they are involved with all the Korbanos, and Levim, because towards the end of the book we discuss the Ari HaLevim. The cities where the Levim set up shop. So therefore, this is known as Toras Kohanim Levim. So we're going to explain here, Bo Yivar Inyani Karbanos Kulan U'Meshmeres HaMishkan. We're going to learn about all the Karbanos, and not exactly all, it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but the U'Meshmeres HaMishkan, and keeping of the Mishkan. Why? Ki Kasher Haya Sefer Echad B'Inyan HaGolos V'Ha'Gulah Mimenu, because we already had one book with regards to the Golos, and the Geula from it, Galus being to Mitzrayim, and the Geula from it being leaving Mitzrayim, Hishlimu b'inyan Oel Moed v'kavod Hashem Asher Malei Yasa Mishkan. It was concluded with the idea of the Oel Moed and the honor of Hashem which filled the Mishkan. So now we are commanded, Sivo b'karbanus u'b'shmir Yasa Mishkan. So now we're commanded to, okay, we've built the Mishkan exists, and the Mishkan is working, and the Shechina is there. What are we going to do in the Mishkan? So therefore we're commanded in the karbanus, and B, the making sure the Mishkan is mishomeris, is protected properly. What would that be referring to? I'm not talking about whether we are pro-gun or anti-gun, although that answer, that should be obvious. But rather, what is it telling us? Right? The issues of?
Observance.
Observance of what?
The mitzvahs.
Which mitzvahs?
The karbanos.
Well, the karbanos and mishmeres hamishkan, and the guarding of the mishkan, which is referring to probably the rules of Tumah V'Tara. So that is, we think about it, that's Parshas Tazria Mitzorah, Parshas Shmini Tazria Mitzorah, may then have the laws of Tumah V'Tara within it. So v'tzi'ashayu ha-korbanos kapara lehem v'yigarmu ha-avonos lislok ha-shechina, that the korbanos are the kapara for them, and we don't want to cause the sins, or we don't want the sins to cause the removal of the Shechina. So that is the goal over the course of Vayikra, to keep the Shechina in the Mishkan, in the base of Mikdash around. V'tzivah b'kohanim ha-nigashim el Hashem she'izkadashu she'izar al tumav Mikdash v'kadashu. Therefore, they command the Kohanim that are in charge of sanctifying Hashem, they should be careful about the Tuma and the Mikdash v'kadoshav and its sanctity. V'gam shelo yaharsu lalos el Hashem, and also that they will not break that and bring forth to Hashem. As it says, Daver al Aron ve'achich ve'yavo b'chaleis al ha'koyim v'yis al choros v'nei choros v'shal al Aron v'lo ha'imus hiba anan eras ha'katoros. What is that? Where is that pasuk from? That is the beginning of Achri Mos. So it was the command also to not just maintain the Kedusha, but also to make sure that you don't go there all the time. But you don't, That's also part of maintaining the sanctity of the place, making sure that the Kohanim are not going all over the place all the time. Fine. So let's skip that next paragraph. Let's skip a couple lines. As we know, Rova Sefer Hazeh B'Karbanos. Now, most of the Sefer has to do with Karbanos. Now, if we could keep that in mind, if that's true or not. Vayikra has to do with Karbanos. Sav has to do with Karbanos. Shmini, much of it has to do with Karbanos. Tazria Mitzorah, not so much, although yes it does, because the ways of absolving Tuma often has to do with Karbanos. Tazria Mitzorah, what else do we got? Achrimos has to do with Karbanos. Kedoshim, not so much. Emor, yes and no. Bar B'chukosai, Not really. Right? So a lot of it has to do with Karbanos, but and then he explains a little bit. The Asar Hachelev Adam Ba'avuram. He says, now all the, but he says the mitzvahs that we learn over the course of Vayikra are all reflections of the Karbanos. For examples, in the first list of Karbanos that we have, the Karbanos Nedava. What is Nedava? These are some terms that we're going to have to get used to saying. What are Karbanos Nedava? Nedava, Karbanos of gifts. Nedava are gifts, the things that we, at our own free will, choose to bring to Hashem. So the first things that are mentioned are these types of offerings, and then along those we va'asar hachela v'adam ba'avuram, and therefore we also prohibit the chelev and the dam. What is chelev? Anyone know? Fat, for prohibited fat, as opposed to shuman, which is permitted fat. So there's prohibited fat, because that's offered on the Mizbeach. And then dam, what is dam? Dam is blood, right? So dam and chelev are prohibited to us. Arayom azeh chelev. You have to know exactly what chelev is prohibited, what's permissible, and what's prohibited. What is, anybody know, what is the process of removing forbidden fats from shechted animals? What is that known as?
Nikur.
Yes, the Nikur process, an area of halacha that most people know absolutely zero about. But yes, that is one of the levels that one gets, one of the kabbalas that one gets when that are involved with kashering meat. So once these karbanos nedava, which are offered, but we eat some of it as well, so we have to learn what is prohibited for us to eat, I mean, what's offered on Mizbeach, chelev and dam. So therefore, that's what's mentioned early on. And then we learn about the karbanos hachet, right, the korban chatos, the sin, the karbanos that are brought as a reaction to sin. So then, v'nigra achar zelahaska malcha masurim. So therefore, that explains why in Parsha Shmini, we then discuss the foods that are prohibited, because that is a continuation that is connected to the korban chatas, because they are tamei va'ochelo anogeben b'chol kodesh lo yigavi al mikdash lo yavo, and one who eats them or touches them, so you're in violation of this halacha that you shouldn't b'chol kodesh, that you shouldn't touch things that are kodesh, etc. V'imnichnas sham betuma yechayv korban olav yorid shiskiu kfar. And if you do go in, so then you're obligated the korban olav yorid that we mentioned before. So we learn, so because the korban chatas, what is reflective of the korban chatas, so things having to do with food that you're not allowed to eat, and things have to do with tuma v'taran that you're not allowed to go there. By the way, the korban chatoses that are brought on, I don't know, Rosh Chodesh, that's coming this week, the korban chatas that is mentioned as part of the korbanos of Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, so what are those four? What are those four? So that has to do with this, that things might have inadvertently, unintentionally be brought to Bituma, or things might have been done without the right amount of Kedusha, and that's why we offer those korbanos. What else do we got here? And therefore we also have to mention the mitzora, that person who gets saras, and the yuhledis, person who gives birth, vazava, those who have emissions, l'chayiv osam b'korban, that they know that they have to bring korbanos, and to be careful about tumah v'tahara. That's how all of that fits in. And then once you're talking about that, so you might as well mention all of the arayas, all the forbidden relationships, and that takes up part of achrimos as well as Kedoshim. Why? Because from sleeping with them, you'll become tamei, and those sins are referred to as tuma. Why are those sins referred to as tuma? It's an interesting question, right? We talk about illicit relationships as tuma. Why is it called tuma? It's a maisa iser. So the Ramban says, goremes lislo kashlina v'legalos. So it causes the removal of the shechina and an exile. And also, both Yochai v'chatas fourth, and that's why those halachos are mentioned there. And then he just concludes his introduction by saying, "V'rov parshios ha'sefer hazeh yedaber behen im hakohanim, daber el aron v'el banav, tzavis aron v'yas banav." Often we're going to see that these mitzvahs have to do specifically with kohanim. Speak to Aaron and his sons, command Aaron and his sons, with parshios kedoshim. A lot, some of them have to do with Bnei Yisrael, but most of them have to do with karbanos and things like that. And I'll explain them when we get there, meaning mitzvahs that seem to have nothing to do with the theme of the book of Vayikra. So the Ramban says, when we get up to those mitzvahs, I'll explain why in the world they're there. Okay? That is the Ramban's introduction to the book. The Nitziv's introduction to the book. We're good so far.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the Netziv quotes a... what are we doing here? Okay. Begins by saying as follows. Sefer Nikra Toras Kohanim. Again, why is it referred to as Toras Kohanim? Most of the books of Netziv, I'm not sure if all, or at least most, his introduction pertains to the name of the Sefer, but not the name that we commonly refer to it as, right? So the book of Shmos is known as Sefer HaGeula. Why is it known as the Sefer HaGeula? The book of Bereishis, the Netziv says, is known as... I forget what he says the name is, but why is it called that? And he says, and he explains it. So here also, why is it called Torah's Kohanim? Because more than the other areas of Torah, Nikra Torah's Kohanim, Rabu Bo Panim Yosef, because there's more faces to it than other Chelkim of the Torah. That's what he says. It's not about that it all has to do with Kohanim, but because he talks about the depth of learning that one can do when one learns Vayikra. So where does he base this on? So he bases it on a Gemara that is going to show up in Daf Yomi Mirza Hashem in 12 days from now. You see, Bryce in Sanhedrin that says Menashe, right? Is Menashe on the good, one of the good guys or the bad guys? So Menashe, not right, one of the bad, King Menashe. So King Menashe, so the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Hayashona Chamishim V'Chamisha Panim B'Toras Kohanim, that he learned the 55 faces of Toras Kohanim. That he learned it, well, Rashi on that Gemara actually comments that he learned it 55 times, corresponding to the 55 years of his reign. Menashe was the king for 55 years, and Rashi says that each year he learned Vayikra once, that he darshaned it out once and figured it out again. So the other Rishonim on that say, well, come on, give me a break. Menashe is one of the most evil kings known. If they're telling me he was sitting and working on the book of Vayikra, it's coming to First Seder, so that's hard to believe. Rather, he learned it 55 times before he became king, but in the merit of that, he was able to become king for 55 years. Okay, but either way, Menashe worked on 55 times. Achav, Shmonim v'chamisha. Achav, also not known for his kindness, 85 years. And Yeravam, Mea v'shlosha. Yeravam learned it 100, or was darshaned out 103 faces of it. So, what exactly does that mean? The Siv says, I'm not really going to get involved with that. He says, V'afal gav shadik dukim shabator mitzat eze yasser oshino ben parsha leparsha shavu ben yana shenitin leparsha leodachik shavin b'chol asfarim. He says, even though, yes, really you can go to any part of the Torah and darshan it out and work through it and get to a lot of depth. Yes, it's true. Kein davarik b'chol Torah kula. There's nothing that's empty in the entire Torah. Mikol makom rabu panim b'yichud b'zeh ha-sefer yosir. There's more aspects to it in this sefer than others. Why? Is because there's many things that we're going to learn here that are either darshaned out from the psukim, that it's worked out from an extra word here, an extra word there, or the Radak says ella, sometimes that, not just because of that, ella mishum shakabalus bal peh bezeh ha-sefer hu lerov, that a lot of the sefer is also just learned out bal peh, not necessarily things that you would be able to learn by working through it a lot of times. Kimali halachos harbe yosem mikol akvar. I think that's svarim. There's more halachos here more than any svarim. Although it, look, it's, I think this thing's just a misprint or whatever. So the ain kabbalah she'enu merumas b'mikra. Now everything is hinted to in the text. Mishum hachi dikdiku parshu b'pen echad v'amidu bo harbe kabbalah. So therefore we explain it. And we establish many halachos on it. So we learn it, all the halachos that are meant to be learned out from. And then we also learn all the things that are hinted to. But if they're not the correct halachos, then you wouldn't be able to darshan it out from the psukim. Therefore, negayim is different than olos. What is negayim about? What is mishnayis negayim about? Negayim is the tractate in Taharos dealing with the laws of Tzaras. Okay? So he says, Negayim and Oalos, what is Oalos about? The laws of Tumah v'Tahara. But he says the laws of Negayim and Olos are going to be very different, as you learn in Chagiga. Why? Because Negayim mikra meruba b'halachas v'wetas. Well, so it comes to Negayim, there's a lot of psukim. If you think about it, there's an entire parsha devoted to the halachas of tzaras, which is odd. It seems to be more. There might be more real estate in the Torah devoted to the laws of tzaras than any other, describing the details of it more than any other halachos in the Torah, which is something I guess we'll talk about. As opposed to olos, olos is very little psukim, right? There is just if it's in an ohel, so then you're tameh. So. But yet, a very large mesechta gets built off of those psukim. Af pisha el echa nosen shtei parshas elu. Aval hefrish enu mitzat torah shebichsav el mitzat torah shebal peh. But the sixth is not torah shebal peh shebichsav, rather torah shebal peh. And tov. Now, I'm not sure he ever gets back to why is it called Torah Kohanim, other than it's the Torah that requires a lot of work, meaning that a lot of understanding and knowledge. And maybe that's who's being referred to as the Kohanim. That is the book that could be learned the most. Maybe that's what it's learned out from. Maybe that's an explanation. By the way, in the Haredi world, the Haredi world still exists until today. But the legend has it is that the Chumash that children would learn first. That's why Rivka came today. But the Chumash that children learn before all other Chumashim is the book of Vayikra, the beginning of Vayikra. And in the Haredi world, it's still sort of maintained. I have one friend from Yeshiva that I'm still in touch with who's very much in that world. And he said, yeah, they learn Vayikra for like a couple of weeks and then they go to Bereishis like everyone else. But perhaps that's part of the idea as well, to recognize that it's not just about the text, but that there's Torah Shebal Peh that is very important as well. Perhaps that is seen more in the book of Vayikra than anywhere else. Okay, so that's about half of the introduction of the Netziv, but I want to get to as well the introduction of the Or Sameach. The Meshech Chachma. Or Sameach is his other book. Both written by Meshech Chachma, Mem Shin, Meir Simcha. Meir Simcha Midvinsk lived around the turn of the century, died I think in around 1930 or so. I actually have in my office on the wall, because I just thought it was cool, somehow I came across the New York Times obituary for Meir Simcha Midvinsk. Someone like sent it to me once, and I happened to have a printer and pasted it up. But you know, he died in 1930, so it's included in all the news that's fit to print. So there, he got an obituary. So anyway, so Meir Simcha says the following introduction. Now, Meshech Chachma is a very interesting sefer, kind of a hybrid between pshat and like halacha. He'll often go into halachic analysis, but also a darshan. It's a big mix. That's what he does, and it's somewhat cryptic, which is why it was very helpful when Rav Kupperman, I believe his name was his name.
He was a contemporary of the Chafetz Chaim.
Yes, Rav Yehuda Kupperman. He's a contemporary of the Chafetz Chaim. He lived in the same city. The city of Dvinsk had not just him, but also had the Rugachever. That name sound to ring a bell to anybody here? I think Rav Yosef Rosen, I think, was the Rugachever's official name. The Rugachever was known as the most brilliant of brilliant. I mean, he was the he's one of these. Known for, he was actually a Lubavitcher Chassid. There is a urban legend that the Lubavitcher Rebbe got smicha from the Rugachever. That's like a myth. It means that it's not true. It's a legend that is out there. Maybe yes, maybe no. But they lived together in the same town. The legend has is that when the Rav Meir Simcha was the elder, Rav Meir Simcha was the Rav of the town, the Rugachever lived there. It might have been like kind of for the Lubavitch community, which is also there. But he was officially the Rav of the town. He asked him, why did you merit to have the Rugachever in the same town as you? He said, when I was younger, someone came, a speaker came to town and gave a shiur, and I slugged him up. And I got a little bit of benefit. Like, I felt good that I was able to raise a lot of questions on the Rav who came to town on his shiur. So as a punishment, I got the Rugachever moved into town to mess up all of my shiur. Anyways, So he focuses on, and we'll probably hit on this a few times over the course of our learning Vayikra, the famous machlokus between the Mor Nevuchim and the Ramban as to why we bring karbanos. What is the purpose of karbanos? So the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, Omer, and very quickly, Ki hu laharchik leiv adam me'avodah zarah, that the point is to remove the heart of a person from avodah zarah, to make sure that he, not to tempt him to avodah zarah. And Mor Nevuchim expands upon that. We're told not just bring karbanos, and we also want to bring karbanos, and therefore we were given the mitzvahs of karbanos to make sure we don't turn to avodah zarah. There's various implications that come from that, which we, right, some have suggested based on this, that the Rambam believed that the time of the Mashiach there's not going to be Karbanos. I'm not sure if we talked about that in this room, but I gave a Mythbusters shiur on that topic.
It seems like Karbanos is kind of similar to Mozart in a certain way.
Except ours is in service to God, and Avodah Zarah is in service to not God.
I understand, but
okay.
I can see it misinterpreted that way.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about that another. We'll get into that in more depth as we move along. The Ramban early on, however, says he gets very upset with the Rambam, unleashes one of his anti-Mor Nevuchim tirades, and says, "No, Amru ki hu lekariv kol hakochos haolamos hu inyan ha'alektri ruchani asher pulus hakohen asa gavos b'olamos shon ki yadua." That no, it's about the things that are accomplished by karbanos, and you don't necessarily understand what that is, but certainly by doing karbanos, many things are done in the upper worlds that you can't possibly comprehend, and Hashem commands to do karbanos because it's necessary to do karbanos. So says the Meshech Chachma, V'lai yesh lahachriya. Perhaps we can be machriya. That's a good term for machriya. We can compromise, not really compromise. We can resolve this by saying ki karbanos bama. That the offering of karbanos on bamos are
altars outside of Yerushalayim.
Private altars outside Yerushalayim. Private altars outside the Mishkan or Beis Hamikdash. It's probably better, right? Milvavos am Yisrael, right? To separate the purpose of karbanos on bamos, perhaps is what the Rambam was talking about. To remove avodah zarah from the hearts of the Jews. Therefore, alachin sivaki yaktiru l'shem shemaim. Therefore, they were commanded to be offered l'shem shemaim. Lo kein karbanos Beis Hamikdash, but not so in the Beis Hamikdash. Himav bade l'kariv. Those are certainly to bring together the worlds and all those kinds of things that come along from that. Fine. And what's my source? So he suggests that the source, there's a Gemara in Masechet Zvachim, all the way at the end of Zvachim, Kuf Yud Gimel Amar Aleph, it says, Ein Reyach Nichoach B'Bama Ketana, Hari Dekatsha Bama Einam L'Reyach Nichoach. He says that there is no Reyach Nichoach, that there is this... How do you translate Reyach Nichoach? Sweet smell, pleasant smell. There's this pleasant smell, right? Many karbanos are referred to as Reyach Nichoach LaHashem. So the pleasant smell is we don't use that terminology when describing a bama. Only by the Mizbeach is it described that. And therefore we understand what Rav Nosson tells us in Nedarim that says, Hanoder ki'ilu bana bama. That one who takes a neder, it is as if they built a bama. Right? Are Nedarim good for the Jews? Are bad for the Jews. So the Gemara comments, "Hanoder ki'ilu bana bama, hainu shebama hi ligdor atzmi avodah zarah." He says, "Yeah, a bama was used to keep people from violating avodah zarah. But when the Mesa Migdash existed, one who did it, who oserasha v'meshagoder atzmi avodah zarah b'had bono bama halo Hashem beheichal katro biyachol hakri mikdash. Why are they bothering building a bama in order to keep themselves from worshiping avodah zarah? Why don't they go to the heichal and offer a korban? So to a person who takes a ned there that wrote, he wants to make him sure himself that he doesn't violate the din. Avahu mosu pesha shekfar gadar to hator b'azhar." That was the Torah already has established various prohibitions in order to make sure that we don't violate things. So that's what it means that the Bama is only a protection issue, and then there might only be a protection issue, but once the base of Mikdash is built, so then we have the opportunity to do the real thing. And he says, and perhaps that explains an interesting shita of Rav Chaim Cohn. There was someone named Rav Chaim Cohn, he was one of the Bali Atosos. And he has the interest following idea that there is a that when did Bamos become prohibited? When did they prohibit Bamos? When they built the Beis HaMikdash, or when they built Shila. I think during the time of Shila they were also prohibited. But once there was a central place, so then Bamos were prohibited. What happens once there was no more central place? So did Bamos become permissible?
No.
So perhaps they... Well, he held no, which is an interesting shita. The assumption is... Maybe. The assumption is that it depends whether we assume that there is Kedusha, whether the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still there or not. Right? If we assume that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is still there, it's just that happens to be a mosque there and we can't offer Kabanos. So, okay, the Kedusha is there, we can't offer Bamos. But if you assume that there is no Kedusha there anymore, so then we can go back to having Bamos. That's the general understanding. Comes from Chaim Cohen and says, both aren't true. There is no Kedusha there, nor are we allowed to bring Bamos. So why would that be? So suggests the Meshech Chachma, because that has to do with the idea of capturing the Yetzer of the Avodah Zarah. That once the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah was captured, there is no necessity to do Bamos anymore. With no necessity to do Bamos, there no longer is a heter to do Bamos. So that's the Meshech Chachma, that's the distinction to the Meshech Chachma, that the Meshech Chachma develops. He adds in. What? Right, because we don't have a Yetzer for Avodah Zarah, therefore there's no need for a Heter Bamos. Right.
When we build the third base of Mikdash, we won't have to because we still don't have a Yetzer for Avodah Zarah.
So according to the Meshech Chachma, would say that no, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, first of all, Karbanos serve a purpose outside of the Avodah Zarah thing. I mean, that's only according to the Rambam. And the Meshech Chachma is even saying that the Rambam himself even agrees to that. That when the Rambam said that it was only to alleviate the need for Avodah Zarah, that was only with regards to a Bama. But even the Rambam himself would say, according to what the Meshech Chachma is saying here, even the Rambam himself would agree that in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a much higher purpose than just keeping us from doing Avodah Zarah. That's A. B, I think, I'm not sure if we discussed here as well, or not, but Rav Dessler writes, I believe Rav Dessler writes in the Myth of Eliyahu, that he takes on this question and says, and who says that the Yitzhar is not going to come back? I mean, we've discussed many times, Bruce, the idea that the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah caused the loss. What's the loss? That it became too much of an emphasis on God's on monotheism, on that God is judging and the king, etc., and not enough emphasis on that there's Kedusha found the entire world. So when Mashiach comes, we assume that balance will then be recreated. If the balance is then recreated, guess what comes along with that? The Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, Karbanos would perhaps by necessity be needed to be reinstated, even according to the Rambam. The Meshech Chachma here quotes a few other Gemaras here that he then resolves by using these lines. For one of them, for example, he writes. Well, that's already the end. All right, we'll just. So he quotes a couple of Gemaras explaining that, and he concludes with also an interesting note, which we'll keep in mind as we go through the course of the Parshios here. He says, in Menachos, it says, this is like the very end of Menachos, which is when you have Zvachim and Menachos, those are the two main Korbanos Mesechos. So at the very, very end, it quotes the following Brisa, Benazai Omer, Lo Nichtov Bekorbanos Lo Aleph Lamed, Velo Elokim. That the terminology of Hashem using Kel, Aleph Lamed, or Elokim is never mentioned when it comes to Korbanos. Ella, Hashem Shalolitim Pisun Chel Baldin Lachlok. Rather, the terminology used is always Yudke Vavke. Why? To not open the mouths, to not give ammunition to those who want to claim that we're offering the Korbanos to different forces of Hashem. Or different forces. Therefore, we're consistently use the name Yudke Vavke. Bruce is going to be on the lookout to make sure that that rule is correct. But davar muvan al pi muskal, and it's understandable. Ki kabanos hay mina geitzel kol gaim lachochus ruchnus miyachas leizet tziros v'lo kein chelak Hashem amal. That on basic level, that's very understandable because kabanos are offered by non-Jews to appease various spirits. So we want to make sure that it's clear that we're not doing it in that way. Ki ein lahem yichis v'achno leizet koach rak l'Hashem yisparach hanim sa amiti v'amamsi akol me'efes amuchat rak l'Hashem yuchat bilvad. That Hashem doesn't need those things. Rather, it's only to—it's all being offered for. We don't divide up Hashem. Rather, it's all for the Shem HaMiyuchad. V'chein b'chol prat tzayin haboreya hevdel bein kabanos shel goyim lekabanos shetiv v'esam Yisrael. Therefore, there's a major distinction when it describes the karbanos of goyim versus the karbanos that Hashem commands His Jews. Zabeach laHashem, right? Lahaktir ishel laHashem. V'zeh kavanos hamaymar ki Hashem. Lo nikra al ezekoch mi. Right, that Hashem is not any specific power, but rather it's everything combined. And he points out that who is the one who said nizbecha lelukenu, that you shall offer karbanos to your gods using that term. Who said that?
Hashem.
No. Paro. When Paro told the Jews that you're going to have to, when Moshe came with his complaint, and Paro responds to them and saying, you know, I'm going to add on more work to you because you guys had the nerve to come and ask me to take a couple days off and offer karbanos lelokenu to God. Right? He used a different terminology. Why is it a different terminology? Because that's a different aspect. That's the only terminology that Paro can get. For more information on that, you can check out the shir that we gave, I think, on that parak. When we gave shir on that parak, I think we discussed Paro's perception of God. Okay, I guess we'll stop here, and tomorrow I'll pick up with the psukim of the book of Vayikra.